Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues here on the American Family Radio Network. Thanks for joining us on this Tuesday, February the 12th. Joining me to co-host the program today is Walker Wildman. Good morning, Walker.
Good morning. Good to be here.
And I want to get back to you in just a minute, Walker.
All right.
You owe me some money. Fred Jackson, news director for American Family Radio News.
Great to be here, and I don't think I owe you any money.
I don't think you do.
Okay,
no.
Good. We're good.
And Dr. Ray Pritchard, who doesn't owe me any money, is...
Good. I was just sitting here thinking about that. So we're all good, Tim. That's great.
Yeah. I'm just kidding. Walker's my youngest son.
I think so I got a quarter.
Even if he owes me money, it doesn't matter. Huh? I'll never see it.
That's right. You'll never get it.
Thank you,
Walker. Oh, my goodness. There is an exchange going on here.
Yeah, Walker's giving me a quarter back toward his college tuition. Toward his 20 grand I paid for college.
That's my interest for the week.
That's right.
Okay. So, Walker, we need to update folks. You and your wife, Lexi, are expecting my sixth and seventh grandchildren.
That's right. We're expecting twins.
Right.
Samuel and Andrew is their names.
Soon,
yes. Very soon. So, we're there. My wife is at 32 weeks yesterday. So, we're hanging in there. And,
right.
They could come today and they would be fine because of modern medicine, but the longer they stay in there, the better. So it's just a waiting game.
By
now.
Stay in there, you mean stay in their mommy?
That's right.
Right.
It's just amazing today compared to 40 years ago. You know, Walker's here. We now know it's two boys already.
Right.
Already been named.
Right.
And I'm sure one's going to be a doctor. One's going to be a lawyer.
So one can sue the other.
Yeah. We already have a son named Luke, who's 19 months old. So he may be a doctor, you know, because of that.
Now, you had three boys, didn't you, Ray?
I sure did. And we thought we were going to get a doctor out of one of them, but we ended up with a pastor and a publisher and a banker out of our three.
A pastor, a publisher, and a banker.
That's right.
Okay. That sounds
wow.
Then the beginning of like a poem or something right
there. or a preacher's opening joke, you know?
Yeah.
You're
right.
The one about.
Yeah. Now, they had some time on the mission field too, right?
That's right. All of our boys spent time in China, and our oldest son, the one who's in the publishing business, took his publishing business over to China and were there for a couple of years. Yeah.
Wow. Well, I know you are proud of, you know, their work in the kingdom and that. Anyway, we're praying for Andrew and Samuel and add them to Luke. So we got a trio going on here already.
It's beautiful.
There you
Walker
go.
Hadn't even hit 26. So we don't know how many. We may have the Waltons here in a few few short years. All right, much to talk about here on the program today. Walker, tell folks if they want to watch the show or engage with us, how can they do that?
Yeah, a couple of different ways. The first way and one of the most popular ways is to visit our website, afr.net. On our website, not only can you listen to American Family Radio live, but you can also go back and listen to past shows. You can catch this show. It'll be uploaded this afternoon. So if you don't listen to the whole show, there you go. Also, you can download the American Family Radio app on your smartphone, AFR app on your smartphone. Lastly, we're on social media, YouTube, and Facebook, and just type in Today's Issues.
Our podcasts have gone crazy.
I
mean, it's tens of thousands.
That's right. We have about 4,000 people a day who listen to the podcast.
Download this show.
Show's podcast.
Just this show. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Fantastic.
All right, Fred, what's going on? Not much, I guess.
Oh, that used to be. A few days. Yeah. Anyway, I woke up this morning and I guess late last evening, the so-called bipartisan committee, the conference committee of Republicans and Democrats announced that they have a tentative border deal. All right. Now, the crux of this, really the important aspect of all of this that has people talking this morning is President Trump had wanted $5.7 billion. And he's been unequivocal in that. This deal only gives them $1.4 billion. Now, you might say, well, remember, Nancy Pelosi said he wasn't going to get a dollar for walls. Well, he's going to get $1.4 billion. Now, what we don't know at this point, ladies and gentlemen, is how the president feels about this. Just got word that he may make some public comments somewhere along the way this morning. If we can get those to you, we will. And so it's kind of a guessing game right at the moment as to whether the president's going to sign this. This is an expenditure bill. This is contained in an expenditure bill, which would take our government through to September of this year. It would avoid the shutdown. Remember, the deadline that was reached after the last shutdown was the 15th of this month, which is this Friday. So this would keep the government operating through to September. The president would get $1.4 billion for building barriers, roughly 55 miles. He wanted enough money for 215 miles. So the question at this hour, will the president say, I don't like this? In fact, I think it's holding short of security that I want for the American people, but I'm going to sign it to avoid a shutdown. Or is he going to say, I don't like it and I'm not going to sign it? Which likely would lead to a shutdown. Mm-hmm. We don't know at this point.
Well, why are y'all all looking at me?
You want give me, us the answer.
You want me to give you the? You want me to give wisdom from on high here?
Please do.
I'm kidding. We'll get Ray's thoughts and Walker's thoughts. Fred, you might want to ask an opinion, even though you asked the question. Okay, what I'm about to say is a political observation. Not how I feel. Sometimes people get that confused, okay? Mm-hmm. They say, Tim, how can you be for, you're for open borders because you said, No, no. I'm just telling you what I think, and I'm just one person as a trying to analyze this situation, okay? Number one, shutting down the federal government again is not an option. All right, that's number one. Because it hurt President Trump, and if he does it again, it'll hurt him bad. Mm-hmm. That's my opinion. Now, that may not hurt him with you, listener, who want him to do shut down the border. I mean, shut down the government to build a wall. But I'm telling you, with the broad masses out there, it hurts him. Okay, that's number one. So if that's off the table, and I think it is, and President Trump said the other day, that's what the Democrats want me to do, right? Because they got a lot of bad press going on right now for the Democratic Party, and they want to take that off them and put it on me. So, number two is he can take that money if you're going to give him $1.5 billion. Is that what it
1.4.
is? 1.4. And start doing mm-hmm. more wall construction. Mm-hmm. Democrats can call it what they want to. And then thirdly, he might be able to take the money from other places, such as somebody told me drug. There's money appropriated to stop drug dealers from coming into the U.S. You might take that money and construct some mm-hmm. some barriers slash walls with the rest of that money. So that's what I think he'll probably do. And then secondly, you blame Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer for not wanting to secure the southern border. And you see if that holds up in the next election cycle mm-hmm. To blame them. For this, now, one other thing, and I've got my tongue in my cheek, but it's barely there, okay? I would take the governor of
New Mexico California, and
California. Of California and New Mexico have taken the National Guard off the southern border mm-hmm. with Mexico. They're both Democrats. I'm getting on a little bit different topic here. I tell you what, let me hold that until you guys comment on what I just said about the deal that's about to be struck. Ray, you want to go ahead and?
Yeah, I agree 100%. If I could agree more, I would.
Right.
Take the money and run. Look, I was thinking about the president's speech last night in El Paso. He went down this long litany of legitimate good things that are happening in America. You know, unemployment down. Economy up, jobs up. I mean, so many things are happening well in our country now. And I saw yesterday his approval was up to 52%.
Right.
I think the worst thing that could happen, Tim, is another government shutdown. what could possibly be gained? Take the $1.4
billion,
and as you said, borrow some.
Right.
You know, there's money. Borrow it, build it, declare victory, and just let's keep moving on.
Right. Rhett Walker?
Yeah, I completely agree. You know, the shutdown is a loser. The Democrats, their base doesn't care about the government employees out of work, not being able to pay their mortgages. They have no compassion. Conservatives actually have compassion. So President Trump opened back up the government. So the whole idea that using the government shutdown as a bargaining chip, it just doesn't work.
And I think we learned something on that, because people on our side, myself included, at times have said, well, just shut down the government then, if that's where the Democrats are going to be. Well, what I've learned from that is That doesn't necessarily work.
Right.
Especially if go ahead.
Yeah, the Democrats have no morals, so they have no conviction. They don't care about people losing their jobs and houses.
Right.
It's the Republicans who are left to take care of people.
Right.
And so you saw that happen. So I'm with you and Ray. I would take the $1.4 billion, fund the wall, and I might actually still repurpose other funds to build more wall.
Right.
And then in addition to all of this, 50 miles isn't going to cut it. I would make it a campaign issue in 2020 and also continue hammering it.
Brad?
Oh, absolutely. And
absolutely, you agree with the wisdom of the three of us?
I would agree with the wisdom. The other thing he can do is, as I say, this bill takes the government through until September. Around June or July, after you've used up the $1.4 billion.
Right. You show what you've done with it, and then you come back and ask for more.
Exactly.
That's
you
right.
Come back and ask
That's
for
right.
more. Maybe if it has to go to an executive order, whatever the case may be. But you're making the case to the American people that every time you add a mile of wall, that's an area where illegal people cannot come in, illegal immigrants.
And I know conservatives, look, there are going to be conservatives out there, and I can say names, but I'm not going to, that are going to try to bash Trump for signing this budget bill.
Yes.
But let's realize this. Getting the Democrats, the far-left open borders Democrats, to fund 60 miles of steel border wall is a political miracle in today's polarized environment.
That's right.
And I know it's way more than he started out with. He started out at $25 billion, down to $5 billion, now at $1.4. I understand that.
It's not ideal.
It's not a, quote, huge victory, but it's a step in the right direction.
But to your point, Walker, what does the fact that the Democrats in their meetings with the Republicans over the last 10 days, what does it tell the American people that he got $1.4 billion? It tells me the Democrats who said you're not going to give you a cent for the wall, they've been reading the tea leaves, the political tea leaves out there, and they know to a certain extent, to a large segment of the American public, they want secure borders.
Yes.
And they were going to lose if they didn't give him a dollar, as Nancy Pelosi said.
Yep.
So I see some caving on the Democrat side. And I'm with you, Walker. There's already some press releases. I've been reading them in the last hour coming across from the border hawks, if you want to call them, saying that Trump should not sign this.
Right.
That would be a mistake.
Yeah, you got to keep in mind here, and then Ray, you can comment. You got to keep in mind here, folks, that even though the wall, i.e. border, whatever you want to call it, is a big deal, and it was his signatory issue, it's not the only thing that matters.
That's right.
Okay?
Right.
There are a lot of things that matter in this country, including Supreme Court appointments, the economy, the pro-life issue, a lot of things that the president has a great influence on. That so if you just want to take your ball and go home because President Trump couldn't get $5 billion on this deal, and so you get so mad at him you quit, what good does that do?
Right.
Yeah. All right? So you got to keep your eye on the ball, as they say, look at the bigger picture, look at the big picture, that's my view. Go ahead, Ray.
It seems to me there's absolutely no downside to taking the money,
declaring
victory, and moving on. Nobody wants to go back to that mess we had four weeks ago, the TSA agents and the national parks and the zoos and, you know, federal workers weren't getting paid.
Right.
That's just terrible, bad publicity for the administration.
Yeah.
Take the money and let's move on.
Yeah.
The president has not failed.
No.
No.
The president has not failed. He campaigned in 2016. We need to build a wall.
Sure.
The president has not failed. The Congress has failed.
Right.
Yes.
He has done everything he possibly right. can.
Yeah, you don't elect a king. You know.
That's right.
So. You know, and honestly, the Supreme Court leans conservative right now, but it's not solid conservative, not
sure.
solid constitutionalist. So, you know, it might be smart to take the money, build 60 miles of border wall, go down there and do a campaign rally
yes,
on
yes,
the border,
yes,
yeah,
you
yes.
know, at the end of this year, early 2020, and also get one more Supreme Court justice,
mm-hmm.
and you will for sure have your, if he does an emergency order,
right.
it mm-hmm. will for sure be upheld at the Supreme Court.
Well, the president went to the border last night, folks, and he had a huge rally out there. One of those rallies where not all the people could get in. About 1,000 people standing outside in 45-degree temperatures.
We're in El Paso?
He was in El Paso last night, and it was a campaign rally, folks. Cut one.
We're building the wall anyway. Illegal immigration hurts all Americans, including millions of legal immigrants, by driving down wages, draining public resources, and claiming countless innocent lives. The biggest proponents of open borders are rich liberals and wealthy donors. These are hypocrites who oppose security for you while living their entire lives. I do too, to be honest with you. I'm guilty. I also live behind walls, okay? They live behind walls and gates, and they have guards all over the place. Me too, because I want to be safe, and I want to make America safe, if you don't mind.
That's a great man. He's on his A game right there.
He is. And he took a little time to take a knock against socialism, repeating that State of the Union comment that he made, that he got cheers from the Republicans last week. This will never be a socialist country. Well, just down the road last night in El Paso, Beto O'Rourke ran against, unsuccessfully in Texas for the Senate seat there against Ted Cruz, but got a lot of votes. He had a rally down there last night, and a Fox reporter went out and talked to some of the people at Beto O'Rourke's rally. Listen to what they had to say, folks, about a wall to secure our southern border. Cut number 7.
You don't want a wall. Why?
It's a waste of money.
Well, I know from the fact base, first of all, that it doesn't do anything. It's not necessary. And it's not the way that drugs and terrorists come into our country.
I don't like borders.
The wall has no purpose. Even if he built it himself, I still wouldn't care because we would find a way around it.
If you were president, would you make the United States a sanctuary country?
Oh, heck yeah. Bring them all. Bring your tired, bring your hungry, bring your weary. We accept them all.
Well, how many is she taking home with her? Huh?
Exactly.
That lady right there is a fool.
Mm-hmm.
Huh? Is a absolute fool.
Yep.
You know.
Well, what a contrast.
Yeah, what a contrast. That's right. All those reasons those people gave, it doesn't work, they didn't have drugs and whatever, yada, yada, yada. They don't mean all that. They just should have said, I hate Trump. I hate Trump. I hate Trump.
Yeah.
I hate Trump. I hate Trump. That's all they should have said because they're for open borders.
Yeah.
Because all that stuff. I would say to them, number one, if it doesn't work, then why do you care whether they build it?
True.
Okay. And right. Number two, if it doesn't work, why do you care whether they build it, or build a wall or not, if it doesn't work? And number two is that guy who said, what does he say about the money? It's too expensive. Can't afford. What do you say? Something about, go play that clip again. I want to hear what the guy's, the fiscal hawk there.
You don't want a wall. Why?
It's a waste of money.
Well, I know.
Right there. That's what I want to hear. It's a waste of money. I'm sorry.
Because Democrats are all about fiscal responsibility,
yes,
right?
Yeah.
But, you know, right. From a practical standpoint, think about this in everyday terms. If we can't take care of our own country
right.
and take care of our family and neighbors, then we're sure not going to be able to take care of other people. And so we have to have control of our borders so that we can care for those people who are in our country legally. You
yeah.
open the borders, like the lady said, let everybody in,
that's
all
what she
come,
said.
Mm-hmm. Then our country goes to the in the dumps, and then everybody's in trouble, and we can't care for people in need.
You know, related to this, fellas, by the way, you're listening to the radio program Today's Issues here on the American Family Radio Network. I'm Tim with Walker and Fred and Ray, and we were talking about the president's speech last night on the border, which Fred played part of it, and then Beto O'Rourke, the Is he a House of Representative member?
He was.
Was, okay.
Was, yeah.
In Texas, he's some consider him a 2020 Democrat potential candidate. Anyway, back to my what I was saying about the governor of California, Newsom. He's going to run, isn't he, Fred?
Run for president?
Yeah. I think he's strongly considering it. He's the governor of California. And then the governor of New Mexico, whose name I can't remember right now. They're both Democrats. Anyway, they have announced that they are pulling the National Guard off the border, and because it's a false problem. Is it, what do they call it? It's not a problem. That is illegal immigration into the country. That's the governor of California and the governor of New Mexico. So,
manufactured crisis.
A manufactured crisis. Thank you. So I've got a solution to this problem. I think President Trump should announce today that he is pulling the Border Patrol off the California-Mexico border. So then you'll have the National Guard gone, and you'll have the Border Control gone. And then you watch people start and just say, if you're coming here illegally, come into California. Okay?
Doors are open.
In California. Mm-hmm. And then say, if you leave California, we're going to deport you. All right? But as long as you stay in California, you come right over the border there in San Diego and Tijuana, because there's going to be no National Guard and no Border Patrol. And then if you let that happen, then let's see how long it'll take the governor of California to start crying and whining and complaining and talk and be getting xenophobic and not liking brown people.
Mm-hmm.
And
you're exactly right. And look at Tijuana, Mexico.
Right.
The residents in Tijuana, the legal residents in Tijuana and
Mexicans,
the mayor,
right.
They're Mexicans. They've been furious at these caravans because they're flooding their city, mm-hmm. turning their streets into a mess, and also they're having the city government's having to feed all these people and use taxpayer dollars. So you do that to California, you will have left-wing Democrats calling for a wall and National Guard so fast.
Listen, I got my tongue halfway in my cheek, but but I'm telling you, sometimes you've got to let people wallow in the pig pen before they come to their senses. And this open borders, this attitude that President Trump's making this up and that there really isn't a problem on the border, so we're going to pull our National Guard so they don't help the Border Patrol anymore. You know what I'm saying?
Well, basically, you're saying, look, you want open borders. Let's go ahead. We'll let you have it. And let us know how that works out for you. With the thought that it wouldn't take too many days before Gavin Newsom and the left liberals would suddenly change the tune, right? But on the other hand, you'd have a whole lot of people unchecked pouring into the country.
You have that now.
Yeah. That's a high stakes move, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I understand that. It's a high stakes move. And again, I haven't thought this through for 10 days and done all the pluses and minuses. I'm just telling you, you know, sometimes when your kid keeps wanting ice cream and they won't leave you alone, I just say get
the bucket.
Sometimes you don't just put the bucket in front of them, let them go to town. And when their stomach's miserable, they won't do that again.
Exactly.
I'm just saying. I know that people who come in, if they came in through California, may come to other places in the country. But you just tell them, hey, you stay in California. They're a sanctuary state, and then and we won't deport you. And then watch all the illegal immigrant caravans come into California. And you watch how long it would take Californians to say, "Wait, we don't like this. We want a wall." Mm-hmm. You watch. Mm-hmm. See what that wouldn't happen. See if that wouldn't happen. We will be back in a moment with more of today's issues on the American Family Radio Network. Stay with us.
Next time on Today's Issues, our guest will be Abraham Hamilton III.
We can become too familiar with the concept of mankind, human beings, being formed in the likeness and image of God without allowing the full weight, scope, and gravity of that reality to rest upon us.
Don't miss the next Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio and on Facebook.
Hello, I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. You know, on our spiritual heritage tour of Washington, D.C., we go to the Supreme Court. That's one of the places we go on day one, and we visit the inside chambers. We go to where the justices sit, and it's an amazing place to visit, the Supreme Court of the United States. We don't just look at the outside. We go to the inside and see where the justices sit and where oral arguments are heard. So that's just one of the places we visit on one of the days when Washington, D.C., and we also go to Mount Vernon, the home of George and Martha Washington. So we're going in September. June's full. September will be filling up soon. If you want more information on this Spiritual Heritage Tour, go to spiritualheritagetours.com. That's spiritualheritagetours.com.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with Fox News and Commentary next. Liberty University is preparing students to enter a competitive job market. They have a low student-to-professor ratio, a caring Christian faculty, and more than 550 programs of study, ranging from undergraduate certificates to doctoral degrees. As the largest Christian university in the world, Liberty continues to establish itself as both a leading liberal arts university and an institution dedicated to the Christian faith. Learn more at liberty.edu. That's liberty.edu. There is bipartisan outrage after Minnesota Congresswoman Ilhan Omar accused a prominent lobbying group of paying members of Congress to support Israel. It's all about the Benjamins. That's what the first Somali American in Congress wrote on Twitter. Journalists Glenn Greenwald, Chelsea Clinton, Dan Shapiro, President Obama's ambassador to Israel, are among those condemning the remarks. In 2012, Omar tweeted that Israel had hypnotized the world. She called on Allah to awaken people and help them see the evil doings of Israel. In January, she told Yahoo News Israel could not be considered a democracy, compared the Israelis to the Islamic theocracy in Iran. There is no doubt what Congresswoman Omar said is anti-Semitic. The question is whether she is an anti-Semite, and the evidence is mounting. I'm Todd Starnes.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues. That's the name of this show here on the American Family Radio Network. I'm Tim Wildman with Walker Wildman, Fred Jackson, and Ray Pritchard. And we thank you for listening to AFR. And we're here every day 24-7 with, I think, the best we can provide in Christian programming, both talk and news and information, as well as Bible teaching programs. Next story, Fred.
All right. We talked yesterday about Congresswoman Ilhan Omar from Minnesota and her latest criticism of Jewish people and the state of Israel. Well, yesterday, after getting condemnation from members of her own party, including House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, freshman Democratic Congresswoman Ilhan Omar has issued a what she called an unequivocal apology for her tweets. Now, there's a problem with that. She has a record of being anti-Israel. Her latest accusation, her latest tweet that came out on the weekend was that there was a certain group, a pro-Israel group, American Israel Public Affairs Committee, better known as AIPAC, that were basically paying lawmakers to support Israel. And she's just has this history now of this kind of thing. So this morning,
she's a Muslim woman.
Yes,
right.
Part of the Somali community there in Minneapolis.
Okay,
elected for the first time to Congress. Now this morning on Fox and Friends, Congressman Lee Zeldin, he's a Republican from New York, Join in with those who are rather skeptical about the apology, but also talking about the problem in the Democratic Party with an anti-Israel sentiment that's there. Cut number five.
Just last month, you had House Democrats tripping all over each other, running to the floor of the House of Representatives to condemn white supremacy in a resolution that named Congressman Steve King. He apologized. He was still thrown off of his committee assignments. And now we have those same members, many of them tripping all over each other, running away from the House floor so they don't have to condemn anti-Semitism. And they are accepting an apology via Twitter. That unfortunately is not the end of it. This also isn't the first time. The apology itself states that it's an unequivocal apology, but it's filled with equivocation. And as you just played that tweet that said all about the Benjamin's baby and how Congressman Omar was tweeting at me last week that said thank you next from Ariana Grande, her apology comes across as, you know, sorry not sorry from Demi Lovato. I don't take it as a real sincere apology. And when she was asked about it last night on video, you see a lack of empathy and true understanding.
So he is making the point that they do have an anti-Israel sentiment, very strong within the Democratic Party. And, you know, he mentioned Steve King, Republican Steve King, that basically was booted off a committee. Omar makes her little apology, and she is still part of the House Democrat-controlled Foreign Affairs Committee. This is bad news for Israel that we have this. We have the Democrats in power in the House, at least. And this kind of thing is just going to continue. There's an effort right now to basically open up things to support the boycott, divest, and sanction Israel movement in this country. There was an effort to stop that, but there are many of the people like Kamala Harris, Cory Booker, who are now running for president, they refuse to support the effort to speak out against BDS. So it runs deep. It's not just Omar. It's within that Democratic Party, this anti-Israel movement in the Democratic Party.
Right.
So she makes an apology, and you listen to it, and all she's basically saying is, I'm sorry I got caught.
Yeah.
And I'll be more careful the next time so that I don't get caught. It was a non-apology apology. And it just shows how deep anti-Semitism is on the Democratic side of things. People don't know what to do about it. Fred, you're exactly right. This BDS movement is gaining traction. There are some friends of Israel, for sure, on the Democrat side, but they don't know what to do about this kind of statement. They condemn it, but they let her stay on the committee. So what's the condemnation worth?
What did she say exactly, Fred? Do you have that?
Well, basically, she was saying that the major point of her latest condemnation of Israel came by way of saying she criticized the American-Israel Public Affairs Committee, AIPAC.
Okay.
And she says it's all about the Benjamin's baby. That's what she wrote.
Talking about $100 bills?
Talking about $100 yeah. bills.
Money, okay.
That this group basically is buying lawmakers to favor Israel.
All right. Don't throw rocks at me here, okay? Please. What is that alone? What is wrong with that?
It's
because the reason I say that is, and I'm pro-Israel.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong, but I can understand how somebody would say a foreign government, be it Israel or somebody else, is buying off American politicians, and I don't like that. I don't see that as anti-Semitism.
I think you have to add it to what she has said in the past. She is a big advocate of the boycott, divest, and sanction against Israel.
Okay, well, that's different. That's ratcheting it up a lot. But just to say, you know, just to say I got a policy disagreement, I think that the AIPAC has too much influence on American lawmakers to favor Israel over other countries or whatever the case may be. Mm-hmm. That's not in and of itself anti-Semitic. Maybe anti-Israel, but it's not anti-Semitic. That's my view. But if you couple that or multiply it with all the other things she said and done, it's clear that she's got a problem with Jewish people.
Yeah, and she also was the one that said 2 weeks ago that the U.S. is not friendly enough to the Palestinian government. I'm sorry, to the Palestinian government.
Right.
Right.
So she was saying that we're too nice to Israel and we need to be nicer to the Palestinian government, and that's
well, we
that's
are, my friend. We give. Yes, we give Israel a lot of money, but we also give the Palestinians a lot of money too, and which they've squandered.
Yeah, but the Israelis aren't the ones doing suicide bombs.
No, you're
like,
right.
Like
you're
the
right.
Palestinian Authority.
Ray, any thoughts on this before we move?
Well, we do favor the Israelis. Period. Right.
Yes, sure. I mean, and we should.
And we should. We're on the side of the nation of Israel in the Middle East, and we should. It's a democracy. It's not perfect. They make mistakes, but they are closer to the values that we hold dear than the people on the other side. So, you know,
yeah.
Well, you're on the side of Israel. You add to the Omar controversy, Rashida Tlaib of Michigan. She's the other Muslim congresswoman elected from Michigan. She's been friends with Louis Farrakhan.
Oh, yeah.
Nation of Islam.
Yeah.
So
rank anti-Semite.
Oh,
right there. Yeah.
Wide open. Hates Israel. Hates the Jewish people.
Yeah, he's not big on white people either.
No,
Fred. I don't think he likes you much. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Sandy Rios, Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association, and host of Sandy Rios in the Morning here on AFR. Weekday mornings from 7 to 8 o'clock Central Time joins us, as she does most Tuesdays. Good morning, Sandy.
Hey, good morning, Tim.
Your thoughts on what we've been talking about here the last few minutes?
Well, I think on the Congresswoman Omar, she has a history of much more plainly anti-Semitic comments. It's not just, I recognize what she said, you're right, Tim, that tweet that everybody's citing is a little obscure. It's more of an insider thing in Washington, more of an insider thing too if you're Jewish. She hit some themes that triggered a lot of Jews talking about they're all only concerned about the money, and she said a few other things that triggered stuff in them. But there's a reason for that. Before she was elected, she tweeted, "Israel has hypnotized the world. May Allah awaken the people and help them see the evil doings of Israel." And then she's got at Gaza, at Palestine, at Israel. She is an anti-Semite.
Right.
And so that was just another, that was like a cherry on top. But if that's all you knew, it doesn't seem that bad. But given all that she has said, it just is one more indication.
Yeah, I have here, what I have in front of me was that tweet you were referencing there is from November 2012. So she is a Muslim woman who hates Israel and can't stand the Jewish people. She feels like they have done the Palestinian people wrong and continue to do so, and that's where she's coming from. That's why she continues to say these things. She's a devout Muslim, I guess. She says, "May Allah awaken the people and help them see the evil doings of Israel." That was a tweet from a few years back, but that represents her true feelings here. But yet she's not rejected by the Democrats.
No. So see, this is what's happening. I'm sure you know this. The Democrats then are in a dilemma, because the Jewish Coalition, AIPAC, is a huge supporter. That's the political lobbying arm for the Jewish official. There's many others, but they're the biggest money producers, and so they have given to Republicans and Democrats. And the Democrats, have had a strong Jewish background backing. You think of all the Jews that have served, in the Senate. And so,
isn't Chuck Schumer a Jew?
Yes, he is. And so are others whose names just in this moment I can't rattle off. But yes, and so the secular Jews have been very close to Democratic politicians. So now you've got these traditional, if you want to call it that, mainline old guard Democrats who depend on that money. And then you've got this whole crop of new socialist leftist radicals who align with Palestine.
Right.
And Gaza and hate Israel. And so you got, I think, 20 or so of them. And then you got, you're really in trouble because you need AIPAC's money. So they're trying to have it both ways. They're trying to not punish Omar because they need that faction of leftists to stay united with them while they, try to salve AIPAC and other Jewish supporters so that they won't be offended. They're trying to walk this fine line, and I think they're going to have a lot of trouble doing that, because I think the party, no doubt, is plunging to the left, and it's going to end up where Omar is. I think there's no question about that.
Are the Jewish supporters of the Democrats, are they, what is this? It sounds self-loathing almost. I mean, what in the world? How
well,
can the, you, go ahead.
Well, because it doesn't, being Jewish, just like say, if you say you're a Christian, doesn't mean what everybody thinks it means. There are
right.
different definitions. People are born, I know lots of people who are Jewish by birth, and that's it. They don't have any kind of religious remembrance, but they are proudly Jewish, but they don't do anything that's Jewish. And most of the time, many, many of the Jews now in this country and also in Israel are actually atheists. They don't
right.
even believe in God. And I think that their main motivation is the political left. They're pro-abortion,
mm-hmm.
Social programs. That's the thing that drives them. And they just happen to be Jewish. But so that's why they can divorce themselves from...
Think about that for a minute.
Yeah.
A Jewish atheist.
Yeah. That's
I mean,
it.
I know what you're saying is true, but it's just like, where do you think your Jewish heritage comes from? It comes from the Bible. Otherwise, we wouldn't even have anybody called Jews today. All right, what are your thoughts on this situation?
You know, Sandy, listening to all this, I wonder what practically the Democrat Party can do. I mean, what is the recourse for Nancy Pelosi or Chuck Schumer to deal with this young vanguard of socialist Democrats who are anti-Israel and pro-Palestine? Is there anything politically they can do to purge their own party? I mean, right now, it looks and feels like they're impotent to do anything about it.
Well, I think, keep in mind, Ray, that I don't think the actual positions of the far left offend them that much. It's the revelation of those
right.
positions.
Oh,
if you knew really who Nancy Pelosi really is and what she really wants, it's probably not that different than mm-hmm. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. I think someday we'll know more about Nancy than we know now. Her past, I think, is carefully hidden. That's what I personally think.
Yeah.
So I'm just saying the Democrats who were once in the middle, kind of like our parents or our people before us, the working class, the heart and soul of America, the working people, they were purged a long time ago in terms of
right.
There are hardly any of them left. And so what's left is the hard left, and it's just the old guard doesn't want you to know how far
yeah.
to the left they are.
Yeah, you know what? I see this as if you were to put them in a room, that is Nancy Pelosi and Cortez. Is that her last name?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Representative Cortez and Nancy Pelosi and maybe some of the other Democrat leaders and these ones that are running for president and so forth, and they're making, you know, they're talking amongst themselves. As Sandy said, I think they're all in agreement mm-hmm. on the far left agenda on everything.
Mm-hmm.
However, the old school Democrats like Pelosi, like Schumer, are saying to these young people or even these older ones, America is not ready for this yet. Okay. Mm-hmm. We cannot,
yeah.
huh? Yeah,
they're
yeah.
saying
you cannot. You're gonna have to roll this thing out a little bit
yeah.
At a time.
A little bit at a time, if you're gonna win. Now we got Trump on the ropes. This is them thinking, talking about. We got Trump on the ropes. Is, you know, he's down in the polls, 50%, under 50%. He was at least for the State of the Union, and so if we want to beat him, you can't be going out here with this green. What do they call it?
Green New Deal.
You can't be going out here with this Green New Deal. Did you understand me, Cortez? Representative Cortez. Yes, okay. So take it off your website, and let's act like it never happened. You got it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, I got it. Okay, so anyway, and that's what happened. Didn't she take it, Walker, didn't she take it down from her website?
Yeah, all the details about it have
Cortez?
Been purged from the website.
It got kind of embarrassing because she said, those who don't want to work, you don't have to work.
Yeah, unwilling to work.
We'll take care of you. And we got to get rid of airplanes.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Pelosi's going, you know, come on. Come
Cortez.
On. Don't do that. Okay? People aren't going to go for people don't work and they get a paycheck and you can't fly. Okay? Well, they aren't ready for that yet. We'll get there one day.
Well, or it could be. Now, really, I shouldn't be so hard on Nancy because it could just be that she really does want airplanes to still be able to fly home to every
right.
weekend in San Francisco.
Right. Yeah,
it
right.
could just be that.
For her.
Yeah.
yeah,
just,
for her.
Yeah. Right, but you know what? These folks on the far left, they are genuinely, they want to revolutionize. I mean, President Obama said fundamentally change the country. These people, President Obama's nice compared.
He's a moderate.
He's a moderate and nice compared to where these people want to go. I'm just saying publicly.
He's the consummate. Sure, he's actually able to. No, we don't mean that.
If you want your doctor, you can keep your doctor, and then after it's in law, you can't keep your doctor.
But I'm saying these other people behind him, they want to throw Christians in jail.
Yes, it's true. Yeah,
that's what I'm talking about.
Exactly.
Yes.
Yeah. So anyway. Yes, Fred.
My hope is that AOC, as she's now known, and Omar and all the others on the left, Kamala Harris, Cory Booker, I hope they keep talking. I really do. I think AOC, even though Nancy may chastise her every now and then, she's going to keep talking. Mm-hmm. She is. And I hope they do keep talking.
Yeah, she's a true believer.
She's a true believer in far-left socialism. Right. Bernie Sanders, you're not going to shut him up.
Right.
I know he caucuses with the Democrats. He's not a Democrat.
Right. Yeah. To prove that the Democrats really all think alike, but only Cortez and the far lefties are saying what everybody else believes in their caucus. Mm-hmm. And look at President Obama. You like your doctor, you can keep your doctor. Well, now Kamala Harris, who's also running for president 2020, said, no, we're eliminating private insurance.
Yes.
We're eliminating private health insurance.
Medicare for everybody.
Yeah, so it goes from, well, you can pick the government health care plan or you can just do your own, to now it's we're completely eliminating the private market.
Right.
So how far left can the Democrat Party go? Tim, I think your analysis is exactly right, that they got to her, AOC, and said, shh, be quiet.
Right.
Because the public isn't ready for that yet. But isn't the truth going to come out sooner or later?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. The Democrats are really, I mean, Republicans, I know, sometimes have their own problems, certainly with PR and getting their message out and so forth. But the Democrats, I mean, they got crisis management on a lot of different fronts. And we've mentioned a couple of them here this morning. Go ahead.
Yeah, and I wanted to ask Sandy about the great state of Virginia. What is going to happen there? I mean, the level of hypocrisy there. Mm-hmm. Governor's still on the job. Mm-hmm. Attorney General still on the job, despite the blackface. And now the lieutenant governor has at least two accusers against him of sexual assault.
Right. I think that's the most serious for having to go.
But you know what? There are people in Virginia. There was a group of black preachers and civil workers yesterday who said, just let these people stay. It's not that bad.
Who said this?
This was a group. They had
black pastors?
Black pastors and I think I had the headline here. Black pastors and black leaders, stop telling Northam to resign. Okay. All right? There they were yesterday. They don't think that this is offensive enough.
Yeah.
Where's this all going to go, Sandy?
Well, you know, probably nowhere because it's a very different world when you're a Democrat. The hypocrisy is sickening. It's really sickening. Now, you think about, like, even Gayle King, who interviewed Ralph Northam on Sunday night on, I think it was, I'm not sure what network,
CBS,
ABC maybe.
I think.
CBS.
Yeah.
Did nothing, but in a follow-up interview, I really think he's sincere. I think he's sorry, and we should let this thing go, because after all, and so we see that Steve King is a racist pig for just simply saying the terms. When did these terms become such wicked, and he lists this whole thing and included white supremacism. But he's not a white supremacist and he's not a racist, but now he is. He's a racist pig because he actually said that in a New York Times interview over the phone. But Ralph Northam, who appeared in blackface with someone with a KKK white uniform, that, you know, he's sincere. I think he didn't really mean that, and he's done so much for us. And so, and the same thing with the lieutenant governor. Fairfax. Here he is accused by, interestingly enough, two black women, two black professional
women.
He'll
have to resign, I think. I think he's the most serious in trouble of having to resign or step down. I mean, he could be, I don't know what the statute of limitations is on this kind of thing, but he could be charged with something. But, you know, again, stepping back here for the hypocrisy on the left. Personally, my view on this blackface thing is that the governor, now, I think he ought to resign because of that thing he said about infanticide, being in favor of.
Yeah.
That's what he should resign over. That is, and repent before God. Hmm. But the blackface from 1984, you know, I think he you should say, I'm profoundly sorry for what I participated in college. And if you look at my life, there's nothing to indicate that I am a racist. Okay. Mm-hmm. That, to me, that should be sufficient for everybody, Republicans and Democrats alike, if that comes out. But what Sandy's pointing out, I think what you're about to say, Walker, mm-hmm. is it's the double standard.
Yes.
That exists. Like she just mentioned Steve King.
Yeah, the liberals have set the bar so high.
Yeah.
Are really so far as what qualifies for having to step aside that they're kind of stepping in their own trap.
Yeah. All right, you're listening. Sandy, thanks so much for being on with us.
You're very welcome.
Appreciate it, and have a good show tomorrow.
Okay, thanks, guys. Thank you. Talk to you soon. Okay,
bye-bye.
All right.
What else you got?
Just got enough time here. I think if you've been watching Fox News, you've heard the story of the small grocery store chain. And it is run by guy by the name of, I want to make it sure I have the...
In Shreveport, right?
Reggie McDaniel. Well, I think he was in Shreveport for the interview this morning, but the grocery store chain is in Arkansas.
Okay.
All right, so they run these ads in the paper. And he ran a little saying in one of his grocery store chain ads, "Heaven has a wall, a gate, and a strict immigration policy. Hell has open borders. Let that sink in." Well, eruption over that, you know. But he explained himself. He was on Fox and Friends this morning. And here he is, Reggie McDaniel. You're going to love this, folks. It's cut number 6.
And it did get out there. It accomplished what we wanted to. And I'm proud of that. I don't have anybody that's personally told me they wouldn't shop with me. I saw a few things online. I don't read all that negative stuff. I really focus on the positive and focus on taking care of our customers. I have churches all over this community has texted me and called me this morning at 5 o'clock on praying for us to do this and praying to stand firm in what we do. And every one of my customers I face has told me the same thing. Stand firm, we stand with you. And that's all I need. As long as I'm in God's will, I'm happy.
And what he said off the top of that interview, he says, here's what I mean. Heaven has a wall. And he says, mm-hmm. here's the wall. The wall is the gospel. You must accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, or you're mm-hmm. not going to heaven. Mm-hmm. Hell, if you want to believe anything else, go to it. There are no walls. And that's why he put that up there.
And his name is Mr. Savor, S-A-V?
Reggie McDaniel.
Oh, okay. That must be a store.
His store is Max
Cash Savor.
His store
is a chain. It's called Max Cash Savor.
Correct.
Some of our listeners in Arkansas are probably familiar with it.
Uh-huh.
But he, anyway, his name is Reggie McDaniel.
Uh-huh.
Right there. He's from the Bronx, you could tell.
The Bronx of the South.
That's right.
All right. What do you think about that story? That's a good one, isn't it, Ray?
Well, hey, I love that. It's just a reminder. There are many ways to go to hell. There's only one way to go to heaven.
Amen.
Make sure you find the right way, and that's Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So,
amen.
God bless him for standing up for
amen.
What Christians have always believed.
You bet.
Well, and did you post that story, Brent, on our... Okay, that story with Fred just talked about with the gentleman from Arkansas, the grocer.
Mm-hmm.
You can find it at two places. You can go to our Facebook page for Today's Issues. We just posted it there, or we're about to. Today's Issues, Facebook, and you got that on your One News Now, too,
right?
We'll
do a connection from One News Now as well.
Okay.
Yep.
All right, everybody, we're going to take a five-minute break for news. Thank you, Fred.
You're welcome.
And then Chris is going to be with us in a few minutes. Steve is out today, so Chris will be with us. Walker, Ray, and yours truly will be back in 5 minutes after the news.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.